That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Are all spoons created equal?
Okay, so I love soup, but I hate big spoons. I think it's like gross.
Oh.
Like it's just a, you need to put, it's too big. It's too much. Like I'm overwhelmed. Like I will only eat soup off of a teaspoon in my own home.
Wow.
Everyone's got their thing. Fanatics.
No soup for you, but podcasts for everyone. Hi, welcome to the very newest episode of the Fanatics Podcast. I am one of your hosts, David Magadoff, and with me is my most attractive host, kind host, coolest host, Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. I love hearing those compliments, one after the other. The trifecta of compliments from you, David Magadoff.
They are the ingredients of what make up Claire Kramer.
They are the recipe of my vessel.
Of your being.
My being. It is the compliment du jour.
I like this. If you guys aren't catching our hot metaphors we're dropping, today's topic.
Don't worry. It's not you. It's us.
Yeah. It's not you. It's us. The topic today is making soup, which we are personally very excited about. And the person we have on is Miss Allison McAtee. And you know her from so many wonderful movies. You've seen her in Unearthed, Desperate Widows, The Haves and the Have-Nots, We Summon the Darkness, Bloomington, The Wrong House.
The Wrong House! The Wrong House, you may say. Why does that movie sound so familiar? Because I was also in it. I played a homeowner, a new homeowner, you could say. And Allison played the disgruntled ex-homeowner who tried to kill me. So
there you go.
If you need something to watch this weekend after you finish listening to this episode and the other episodes of Fanatics that you haven't listened to yet, then watch Wrong House.
Would you say The Wrong House is the right movie?
It is so right, it's wrong.
And speaking of right, I think you will all very much enjoy this podcast. If you like soup, and my gosh, I hope you do. And if you don't, get ready to love it. Allison, take it away.
Before we go any further at all, I have an extremely important question for you. Please define the word soup. What is a soup?
A soup is... So it has to have a broth base. Can't be too thick. There's got to be a thin broth to it. Although some soups there, I do a broccoli cauliflower blend that's a pureed soup. So it does have a little texture to it. But most of the soups, unless it's got that blended base, have a thin broth versus a stew, which is like thick. And the broth is dense, kind of. Soup has a thin consistency. I feel like that's the guideline.
Does stew have to be thick? We were talking about this pre-podcast.
I think it does. No, it does. I think it does. That's the thing with stew. Although, you know, stew in my mind is like from Dinty Moore canned thing that you, I feel like I have not actually ventured into the homemade stew space because I just would have to add flour or something to the broth, which just sounds like carbs.
Fat.
So I'm like, that sounds like a really terrible thing to do. So yeah, soup is thin, and that's the key is the consistency of broth.
But except a melon soup, the broth is the melon and the vodka. A vodka broth.
I mean, if I was gonna make a vodka melon soup, I think it would. I'd blend the melon. I think I'd puree the melons, right, and then add the vodka.
I've made this soup. Yes.
Ooh, did you really do this?
I did. One was a honey. Oh, I did better than that, girl. It was a honeydew and a cantaloupe, and I made each of the blends, and then I poured it so it was half orange and half green with mint on top. But I didn't use vodka. What? That is something that I will definitely add in next time.
Well, I mean, that was a little, that was, you know,
I've still added it in me, but I didn't add it in the soup. So
fair.
Allison, how often are you eating or making soup rather? And then of course eating it, but how often is this a weekly experience?
It is well, can I give you like the lead in on why? And like, are you guys, do you want to know this, right? Cause I mean,
yes.
So I grew up with, my mom had this, it's a family recipe. And my mother's grandma was Czechoslovakian, and she would make these egg noodles that my mom would tell me that she would make them all day long. And then they would dry on the table in the sun. And then she would make this soup. And it is a family soup that's been passed down, and it's called special soup. And it's so rad that literally like the recipe's super like close to, we're keeping it close to the vest, but like some of my very good best friends from high school, they're always like, yo, can I get the special soup recipe? So it's kind of like on the DL, you can get into the group and maybe you'll know the recipe, but it's a beef and tomato soup, but it's thin. It's a massive vegetable. So tons of vegetables. Mm. And my mom would always make it in this pot that is, you have to go to like a kitchen supply store to get the extra huge size pot.
She's putting her hands out in a way like she's giving a bear hug, everyone. Just it's that's how big this pot is.
It's the hula hoop pot. Exactly. Like as a child, I would like hang out in the pot before my mom was cooking, like playing with my toys in the, right? And then I was like, oh, you're going to cook the soup. I'll get out now. And it was a whole day process. This like this soup making would be this whole day event. And I would kind of carefully stand on a chair next to her and watch how it was all happening and how it would go down. And literally it cooks for 10 hours. There are the secret special like step that my mom added was to strain everything through cheesecloth. Ooh. So that the broth is extra thin and you get out all the fat. So it has the flavor, but you don't have any of the like grease oily stuff. So I feel like from a young age, there was this planted seed of, you know, there's something home, you know, homey. It's a familial thing that's, I've got to keep it going. I mean, like my great grandma started this. Like, what am I going to like, let the soup recipe die? So that's how it all kind of began. And I want to say a couple of years ago, I had an ex-boyfriend that was like, oh, I make this really great soup. And then I kind of got like competitive with him where I was like, oh, really? Well, let me just see what yours is. And it was like a kale lentil with, and he would use like one carrot, like one onion. Where I was like, who does that?
Not
so, you know, I'd bring out like a bag, right, of substantial amount of veggies to throw in. So I think that's how it all began. And to your question on how often do I make soups, I want to say definitely once a month, sometimes more, because I make a huge, in this huge pot that you guys know now that a child could fit in. And then I freeze a lot of it. And then it's really great throughout the week if I'm like, oh, I just like want an easy dinner, or like I want an easy lunch and it's so simple, then I have soup. Or I can give it to people as like a, hey, I made soup.
Yeah.
Here's a little container. So I'd say once a month is my soup. Into the winter and into the fall, I get into it more. And I would say like, you know, it's cozy out, it's chilly, you want to like make something warm and tasty.
How many times a week are you eating this soup? Because it sounds like, it sounds like a lot.
it's like half of my diet is fully soup.
Yeah.
You know, like once a week, maybe. Yeah. Sometimes I won't eat it at all for a couple weeks. But then other times, like when I first make it, I love it. And it's like the first fresh pot I'll usually for a couple days. And then after 3 days, you're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to take a break from this. But I mean, when I was a kid, like I'm telling you, I was so obsessed. This is where the obsession started, that I would, my gosh, I just remembered this. My mom, when I was in college, or maybe when I lived in New York, because when I was in college, I went to school in Pittsburgh and they would just drive to pick me up, or it wasn't like, but I lived in New York before college and then after college. And whenever I would fly home, my mom would pick me up at the airport with a Tupperware container full of soup, special soup, so that I could eat it on the way home from the airport. Like, that was legit a thing that happened. On like, so it would, she would usually being like, bring a baking tray.
Uh-huh. And so you didn't spill it.
Yeah.
On your lap. I'm so feeling this moment between you and your mother. So let's talk for a minute about the special soup, right? That's what you call it? The special soup.
Yeah.
So when did you first make that without your mother present?
Mm.
You know, so I grew up, and I remember when I was younger, I don't know if you guys remember the show Donna Reed. It was like on Nick at Night when we were, it's an old show.
Yeah.
Okay. So I remember watching Donna Reed as a kid, and I was like, I am not going to be someone's housewife, and I'm not going to cook, and I don't want to cook, and I hate cooking, and like, I'm not doing it. And then in my mid-20s, I was dating a guy whose family had like learned to cook in Italy, and they were all incredible chefs. And I was like, oh, I should probably like kind of act like I know what I'm doing. And I really then learned like, oh, this is actually really cool and really creative. And I think that's another reason that I like, I mean, I love to cook in general, and it's because you get to be really creative in the kitchen and you get to play with things and play with flavors and the smell of something. And then you're like, oh, if I add thyme to that, this will be great. And then if I add some curry. And so it became a creative thing that all of a sudden I realized didn't have to like put me in a box, but could be this really expansive, cool way to express myself in a way and nourish those around me and myself, which is a win. So yeah, I would say I started the first time I ever made it. I want to say I was like 30. Ever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you like got into it. Like you didn't look
I would
back.
Say it's been the past 5 years that I've really like gotten into it more. Where like if I were to show you my freezer, you'd be like, oh, you have like 4 different kinds of frozen soup.
I'm like just wondering if I can get a subscription to that.
I mean, I have a need, Allison.
I have a need to feed my family. And I would totally like pay you for like twice a soup delivery once a week of frozen soup, or once a month of like 4 different soups for a month.
I mean, maybe this is a side venture that I look into. I do recall, I'm sure you guys all remember the Seinfeld episode with the soup guy.
No soup for you.
Soup Nazi. Yeah, then, call him his full name, Soup Nazi.
The Soup Nazi. And when I lived in New York, I remember there was a soup place right near Mercer Kitchen in Soho. And I think that actually the Soup Nazi was based on that place, maybe. So, I mean, there are soup places that exist, Claire. So I like that you're like putting this out there as
I would seriously, like, we're going to talk after the show because I seriously see like a business opportunity here.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so your family had the special soup. What is your special soup and why?
Ooh, mine. I feel like, gosh, you know, so I kind of do like a cabbage soup that's an all veggie usually. It's similar to the special soup that has beef. And I did the cabbage soup because it was like a diet at one time, right? Like the cabbage soup diet.
That was like the diet that was popular cabbage. When we were
great in a soup.
Coming around.
Yes. So I kind of did that, but tweaked it and made it better, I think. That might be one of my favorites. And there is a really good kale with like a curried, almost a curried broth. Which is quite delicious, which is one of my, I need to come up with names for them if I'm going to open a soup shop.
I can help with that too.
Start working on that. And then, you know, interestingly, so there's a spice place in Ohio, near where my family is from in Pennsylvania called Penzies. They have like these incredible mixes of spices. And so I have found those are the keys to like the really good soups. Ooh, turkey soup. My turkey soup is bomb. I use one of these special, it's a curry that I use. You would never think to add.
So what's the difference between a turkey soup and a turkey chili?
I would say a turkey chili, you have tomatoes and it's got a red base, right? Like it's got, and you add chili powder. I actually have a turkey chili in my fridge.
A lot of beans. I have a good turkey chili recipe.
Okay, there you go.
I can help with the shop.
Amazing.
That's from Ohio, though, so you have to be good at the chili, Claire. It's a inside of you.
Do you know Penzies spices?
I don't.
Have you ever heard of Penzies?
No.
Oh, my gosh, this is so good.
I grew up north of Columbus, so I don't know. It's probably a little bit more north.
Your Cleveland is closer to me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, soup and chili. Differences. Tomatoes in chili, not in soup. Soup.
Yeah, tomatoes, beans. And so turkey soup is like a clear broth, again, right? Like it's strained with the cheesecloth again, and also really linen is better than cheesecloth because it strains it even better. So if you get like a rougher, coarser kitchen towel linen to strain everything, like the meat. And I love to, this is so bizarre, I do like full, I love to buy turkeys. Sometimes I just buy turkeys and cook them to make soup, the entire thing. Like I'll eat some of the turkey, but most of the turkey, because I boil the bones for hours and hours and hours to pull all the marrow. Mm-hmm. That's another reason that I love soup, because you feel so energized. If you have marrow and you're eating a soup with the bone base, you've got like energy for days and you're like, I'm good. I can run a marathon right now. So, I mean, I'm not one of those like, I'm going to eat powdered bone marrow, but I will go and you can
buy bones.
But
you'll eat it in the soup.
I will. Yeah. And you know, it's really good. Like, so I was in, so for the start of COVID, I was doing a project. It got shut down. And then like, you know, everything shut down. And I was like, well, my father had been flying to visit me. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go visit you instead. Like, it's better you don't fly. And they live, you know, they have horses and land and it's like rural and so
like
much
humans.
Better place. Yeah. Much better place for COVID than like, you know, Hollywood. But, so I made soup for them while I was there. And my dad at first was like, whatever. And then he kind of got into it. So when I left, and also some of his friends, like they would come over. Ooh, I made a really good ham and bean soup when I was there. But they would come and sample. And then they were like, wow, these are amazing. Like, what's Allison's great. So my dad was like, I'm going to try it. And you have to boil a turkey for like a day so that there's a really thick, almost like jello on top of it. Cause that's the marrow. It's like the good stuff. You gotta like skim off the fat and like add the jello-y goo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Allison, when you order soup at a restaurant, is any soup going to be as good as what you can make, or do you just avoid it completely?
You know, no, there was this one place. Oh my gosh, it's not even open anymore. They have this butternut squash soup. I haven't tried to make that. And it was bomb. It had like pepitas in it and some kind of green oil drizzled on it. I don't know what the green oil was, but it was incredible. So that is like on my list of soups I must learn. I haven't done that yet.
That sounds delicious. And that's a good fall soup, I think.
It is, right? Yeah. We're starting to get, I mean, it's weird. A fall in LA is like not really a thing.
Right.
It kind of is. So.
It's like you just wear a sweater.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, it's so
with your shorts and sandals.
Yeah. It's 75. Yeah.
So I want to go back before we lose this whole thing about the bone marrow and the bones and everything like that. Because I was having this conversation with a chef the other day and they were like, hey, listen, you know, the only thing prohibitive about cooking every night for me is I have to, you know, prep all the vegetables and saute them. And then I have to actually cook the dish. So it's very time, chopping and cutting and sauteing and then cooking and then whatever, all these steps. And my response was like, hey, listen, you don't have to do all those steps. You can just put everything in a crock pot. And that's, you know, for me, the simplicity of doing that outweighs the taste benefits of the stuff. But now I think I'm being swayed back into what he was saying. And I believe you do have to take those steps for the proper taste to emerge. Is that correct?
I do believe that is true. Yeah, you have to take, there is like a first, second, third, and you can't, like, if you don't caramelize the onions and the garlic first long enough in the olive oil, that's got to be like the first move.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to add those in later, it was like, it's gonna be a little bit different. It won't be quite as great. And if you don't strain the meat through a cheesecloth or through linen, literally it's like the oily, fatty, gross, whatever.
I think you're enlightening me right now. These two conversations are making me think that I need to rethink my method of you must survive in the crock pot and still have flavor.
Well, you know, the great part, I guess, which is the same concept. So you have to commit like a day, right? If you're going to make the soup, because it totally takes a day. So it's like the day that you're, for me, I'll do it on a day that I'm intending to like do laundry and stay home and clean and like make soup. Because literally you're there for 10 hours doing it. But then, you know, when you want to have it, you literally take it out of the freezer that morning. And then by the time it's dinner time, it takes 5 seconds, 5 seconds to make it. So you kind of don't have the prep then, but you do have the flavor that you were.
I think I'm being converted into like,
I love that that's happening. That's so great. How many kids do you have, Claire? You have
four.
Four. So yeah.
A lot of soup to feed in that family.
Yeah, we're having soup.
Yes. And they love soup. In fact, mm-hmm. my sister made me she was like, this will last you two meals. I was like, that'll last me almost one meal. But yeah. She made two big bags of frozen chicken noodle soup and we had it this week in the crock pot and it was delicious. So mm-hmm. I'm just mind blown right now. I love this.
Well, I mean, I'm like health conscious as well. And that way I know that, you know, I can be like, I'm getting something healthy and it's all vegetables mostly. And I'm not eating, you know, like on the fly, just like, oh, I need to mm-hmm. get something quick. So I'm going to grab this thing that's, you know, terrible for me. So
what is the happiness inside of you feel like when you make soup?
What is the happiness inside of me feel like? Oh my gosh. It's very, I think it becomes very like zen. It's like a zen creative. So the happiness feels like a peaceful soup lazy river, really. I mean, to throw back to that, it's just kind of a chill. Like, yeah.
I'm so loving the soup lazy river.
I mean,
it's a good metaphor.
It is.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Allison, spoon sizes. Are all spoons created equal?
Okay, so I love soup, but I hate big spoons. I think it's like gross.
Oh.
Like it's just you need to put, it's too big. It's too much. Like I'm overwhelmed. Like I will only eat soup off of a teaspoon in my own home.
Wow. Do you drink? Can you drink a soup?
At the end.
Do you drink a soup?
If I'm in my house, if I'm in a restaurant, I don't drink soup.
But is it a more pleasurable experience to either eat with the spoon or drink it through a cup?
I feel like I don't go in cups. I definitely do bowls, and I do the plate underneath because I guess that was how fill it to the brim so that it, you know, inevitably there's spill and it catches the spill. Yeah. Sorry. What did you just ask before that? That
just if there's a certain joy that comes from a way of eating a soup, as you are a soup aficionado, can you put things in soup? Does that taint the soup? Dare you put an oyster cracker in? Is that blasphemous, or is the soup, should the soup be as it is?
No, you know, that's a really good question. So I kind of am not a junk food snacky person, but I do have a couple go-tos, like the Snyder's mustard pretzel pieces. Do you guys know these?
Okay. Yeah, that's your go-to for a soup?
For like topping to sprinkle in certain soups, that's my go-to sprinkle topping. And it kind of makes it extra special, if it's especially in the cabbage soup.
So it's a special soup.
Yeah, it's an extra special soup. That's the extra. So, yeah. You know, you got to like moderate. I mean, you wouldn't like cover the entire thing, because then it would melt and be gross and get all mushy. But, you know, in moderation, it definitely makes it better.
Is it important that your significant other or loved one enjoy soups as well?
I mean, kind of, to some extent. I mean, I haven't thus far had any riffs about it.
We haven't started your business yet. So it's
right.
Right.
That's going to bring up a whole new slew of things, Claire. I didn't even think about the doors that are going to just. Yeah. No, I think it is important that they at least respect it. They might not. They can be like, oh, that one's not my favorite, but like, you should eat it because I made it. So, and I spent 10 hours to make it for you. So even if you hate it, you need a bite. And then maybe I won't make that one again for you. But everyone else likes it. So.
All right, Allison, I'm going to say some things to you, and I would like you, whatever image or emotion or opinion comes out of your mouth, we can't wait to hear it based on just the things I'm going to say to you. Okay.
Okay.
Just a little something. So, Progresso. She's making faces. They're not good.
Yeah, Progresso. Gosh. mediocre. Mushy.
Great. Soup Plantation.
Salty.
Not a fan salty of that big chicken noodle, big fat chicken noodle soup.
No. Okay. So also, I don't eat chicken. So I feel like that's why I do the turkey soup instead. Mm. I do like chicken soups, but I don't eat them. I don't eat it anymore. So I like avoid the chicken soups.
That's a big challenge. You have to avoid all the chicken broths and chicken stocks.
Mm-hmm. I do. I usually go veggie or beef or turkey. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Turkeys. Matzo ball soup.
Delish. Like classic. I'm trying to think of like one word. Classic, I guess. Classic. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Campbell's.
Tomato soup. Childhood. Rain.
Grilled cheese and tomato.
Yeah.
Soup.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can jump into it on this.
Honestly, that would be of the Campbell's category. Most of their soups they do make cream of soups, which are good as like bases.
For casseroles.
Yes, exactly. But I wouldn't like eat that soup. But the tomato soup, sometimes that's like so simple childhood nostalgia that I think there's an emotional attachment to it, even though it's really not amazing. Like you can add some pepper, but when you have the grilled cheese, Claire, like you said, and you're dipping it in and it's a rainy day, like there are the times that you crave. I haven't done that yet. A tomato, just a full on tomato soup that, because I feel like there's like a line. Sometimes it's really off. You got to like,
yeah, the oils can get overwhelming if you don't. That's why the strainer would be good.
That's true. And the acidity of it. Oh, that's the other secret. So I have some secret ingredients, which are honey. Mm. Honey to like every soup. And apple cider vinegar.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's like it cuts the fattiness. So if there's an oiliness to something, like say you have a lot of bone broth, but it's like oily or feels fatty or meaty. If you throw some apple cider vinegar in there, maybe like a quarter cup or a tiny
apple cider vinegar. It isn't everything. And somehow
it is
from food and life and cleaning supplies. It's French wonderful. Onion soup.
Oh, like best soup ever. Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, it's probably one. That was one of my childhood favorites. Do you remember like the first time? I mean, it was a teen, I think, when I first had French onion soup. Weirdly, I don't know why, but I remember going to, it was like a place in New York. It was really well done French onion soup. And my aunt also makes a really delicious French onion soup.
Key to caramelizing the onions in that one.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the, you got to really caramelize onions, I feel like, in any soup, though.
Well, and it's got the most amazing, it's the only soup with a ceiling.
It has a hat.
Yeah.
It's a cheese ceiling.
It's a
soup hat, Claire. Exactly.
It is a soup hat. It is a soup hat. And also, like, who doesn't like a big hunk of melted cheese on?
Yeah.
I mean,
if every soup could start with chiseling through cheese, that's a very happy soup.
Not bad.
All right, cup of noodle.
Oh, gosh. I don't really count that as a soup, but that makes me think of college.
Okay.
Right? I feel like there was, like, half of my freshman year, I think that was, like, what I ate. So,
okay, last one. New England clam chowder or Manhattan clam chowder?
Oh, New England. Hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down. Yeah, no brainer. It's classic.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of the childhood soup, which is the, you know, either the chicken and the stars or the tomato with the grilled cheese, is there like do you have a Christmas soup? Is there a soup that you make every Thanksgiving, holiday-based soups, anything, tradition that you have for specific soups other than the famous soup or the family
other
soup?
Than the special soup?
The special soup. I'm like, the super soup? What is it called?
It's special soup. As for holidays, no, I mean, I feel like after Thanksgiving, I'll always make a turkey soup because, again, I'm like, we'll
have
the carcass,
whole carcass
and
there.
I love boiling the bones, and it's so great. I've actually called myself a kitchen witch before. I don't know where that came from, but I feel like that's like a fair term, you know?
I like that.
I like concocting things, and when I'm literally boiling bones, I'm like, yeah, this feels appropriate terminology.
When do you have that moment when you're in your house going, it's time for me to make a soup? Is it a feeling that comes over you? It just... You're looking in the freezer and you don't see anything. Is it you had a bad day?
Yeah, it's when the freezer gets low on the frozen soup that is already there. When I only have like one or two varietals left, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm gonna
gotta get cooking. Kitchen
gotta
witching.
Get a different one. Gotta get right. Gotta get kitchen witching.
That's none of your business.
You're genius, Claire. Yes,
I love it.
So good.
And you can specialize in soup hats for kids. Soups with soup hats.
Soup hats.
All right.
I'll love it.
I'm obviously enjoying this way too much. David, redirect us.
You got it. Is it ever possible to microwave soup, or are you just destroying the soup?
I do not own a microwave at this point. I threw out my microwave years ago because I don't know if this is true. I mean, I probably should read like Scientific Digest to see, but I was told that it changes the molecular structure of water, microwaves do. And I was like, well, do I really want to then ingest that? That feels like not a thing that would be great for my body. So I feel like microwaving anything, it's not my jam. I can heat it on the stove. It's going to take like 2 seconds. It's not a big thing for me.
Soup in a second. Have you ever made a soup for someone? Or a group of people or family, and they maybe had a face on that wasn't to your liking. You know what I mean?
My gosh, have I ever made like a really terrible soup? Is that what you're asking?
Or just even a soup that was like fine, even worse than
mediocre,
terrible, just that it was fine and that it wasn't even like anything. At least if it was bad, you're like, ugh, I tried.
No,
I tried, but failed. This is just.
I must say, I did not with soups, but very, not that long ago, my family was here and I had made a zucchini pasta and I made the sauce and it was like, I don't know if it was because I made it from scratch with the tomatoes and I don't know if the tomatoes were bad, but we all kind of were like, oh, this is really like, no, it's terrible, terrible. So sauce, I really screwed up on that. But no, I think soup, it's kind of my jam. Like I got that in lock.
Mm-hmm. I think you do.
Yeah, kind of. I feel like I do.
Has there ever been a story with a soup, or a soup comes with a story? Because similarly, my wife's a graphic designer. I learned all about emotional design. I can go into a restaurant and get this served, a taco in one restaurant and a taco in another restaurant, and it could be the same taco, but you enjoy it more because one restaurant just is a nicer restaurant. Have you ever had a story with a soup similar to the one that you grew up with? You have this wonderful memory. It's passed down. It's this amazing, you were in the pot as a kid. Like, it's beautiful. Has there been any other stories with any of these soups, or is that the only soup that has like
a beautiful story attached? Yeah, I think that growing up, that was, my mom did not make a lot of soups. My mom made this one soup and it was special soup. I have literally no memory of her making any other kind. But it was, there was a lot attached to that. Again, because of the family story that it had been passed down, and because the egg noodles, that's key. Like, you need to have only these certain kind of noodles. You can't use this other thing. And there was a lot of time that I spent with her making that. The rest is kind of like stuff I've done on my own. So I do not have children yet to pass this down onto them to make them.
I'll send mine over.
Great.
Perfect. Solutions to everything in this podcast. We're solving everyone's life.
I love it.
Is there a taboo soup that you would never make for any reason, or like some historic lore, or, you know, there's those taboo things in life.
Is there a cursed soup that we should avoid?
Yes. How do I improve my life, Allison? By not eating the soup.
Well, I mean, gosh, the cursed soup. I feel like,
obviously leaving out like shark fin and stuff like that.
I feel like anything with like uni, I feel like that'd be like a secret ingredient of, you know, like the fish soups. Some of the fish soups I'm like, not so sure about. So
I like uni.
I don't know if I've had
an uni soup, but I was in Maine just a few months ago on a boat, and they passed around a live uni, and I had it in my hand, and I just kept thinking, this is delicious.
Oh, I think it's like the worst. It's maybe one of the worst things ever. Uni, oysters, wasabi.
I don't need any of that.
I don't either. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I think you're lucky that you're allergic. I just have to be like, it's just gross.
All right, Allison, this has been a delight. This has been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to this moment about to happen. We end every podcast with a love letter. You love soup. This is an audible love letter to soup and making soup. And so please begin, as all good love letters do, with dear making soup and ending it with love, Allison.
Dear Making Soup, thank you for the continued joy that you bring to my life and the lives of others when they get to sample your wares. You allow me to be creative in ways that I didn't even realize that I could be, and that's a win. So thank you a million times over. Love, Allison.
Love, Allison, the kitchen witchin.
Yeah. The Kitchen Witch.
Allison, thank you so much. That was delicious. I'm thrilled she said New England clam chowder. Because if she said Manhattan clam chowder, I would have been very polite. But Claire, are you with me on this?
I've never had either. I'm allergic to shellfish.
Oh, yeah.
I'm allergic to clams. So I don't know. But I would like to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how elated you are that she chose your preference over the other chowder. David's chowder.
It's a solid 10 out of 10. Because
you're invested.
Well, she loves soup. And listen, guys, if you like Manhattan clam chowder, I want to know, because I need you to tell me why it's a better soup. I almost feel like if you had called it a different name, it shouldn't be lumped in with the chowders. It should be its own thing. It's a problem is they get combined and compared. Like I did today, I compared them. They should be separate things. They
still
are not
comparing
like-minded.
Them. I know. It's still going on. You know what's really weird? Speaking of soups, I actually, when I was in Papua New Guinea, Port Moresby, which was a whole other 10-episode podcast about that, but we went out to eat, and there was shark fin soup on the menu, like for reals. And it was the most bizarre feeling to, you know, have this dish that your entire life you obviously have been taught is a wrong, horrific dish that you should not eat for the reason of the sharks and the lives and how the fins are harvested. And it was like there in front of me. So it was kind of like, I think that's what led me to my like taboo soup question, you know?
Yeah. What's your favorite soup, Claire?
Well, the soup that I discussed at the top of the episode, the honeydew and cantaloupe soup, cold soup, is definitely my prettiest soup that I have ever made. And it's a chilled soup. So it's a very, I don't prefer a tomato-based chilled. I like a melon-based chilled. So it's very, and
I'm
it's
I'm talking
very,
taste. I'm saying the thing that if I said you could put in your mouth as a soup right now that would make you smile and happy.
Okay. Probably like a butternut squash soup.
Oh.
With like a little sour cream and a little like
cinnamon?
No.
Okay.
A little like you want this, you have the sweetness in the soup, so I want like a little like Roquefort cheese or like blue family cheese and a little sour cream on top. Boom.
It's
yummy.
It's matzo ball for me. It's purely matzo ball soup.
Although, wedding soup. Are you familiar with wedding soup?
I do love a good Italian wedding soup. I got really turned on to that.
The little mini meatballs. Yes.
They're very tiny meatballs.
I like the mini meatballs. They're so cute.
They're adorable. Speaking of adorable, Allison was wonderful and fantastic to
talk
to. I
really, really, really do want her to start her business.
I you
want to
have everybody
customer.
Do a business. Claire, I genuinely believe in all of your business ideas. They actually are all very good.
Thank you.
And I don't want you to do it because I feel like you wouldn't have time to do this podcast. So that would make me upset. But I do want you to do it because I actually think they're great ideas.
Yes, I love that. Thank you for being supportive, David. That is the best thing about having you as a co-host.
Oh, my gosh. And the best thing about you guys is thank you for listening to this thing.
Thank you.
Feel free to like, subscribe, whatever, follow, all the things that people ask at the end of podcasts. Please do those things if you are enjoying yourself here at the Fanatics Podcast. And we'll see you next Thursday for another Fanatical Time.
Bye. And before you go, I want to tell you about next week's episode. It is the amazing actress, DaWanda Wise. I love her so much. You know her from Fatherhood. She's Gotta Have It, Shots Fired, Underground. And she is coming on Fanatics to talk about supermarkets. And yes, we even mentioned Supermarket Sweep. So be sure to tune in next week. Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at @WeAreFanatics.
Yes, that's WeAreFanadDICTS. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode. If you oodle for your noodles and have onion with French onion,
can't be louder for clam chowder, not a phony for minestrone.
You probably love soups.
Yeah, you definitely love soups.
If you're silly for some chili.
Oh, didn't we say that's not a soup? I thought.
You're so particular, David.
I'm just saying.
Enhance your listening experience with Wondery Plus. Enjoy ad-free listening, exclusive content, binges, and more. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.